what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, and I apologize, I looked up, it's 12:15, I was having so much fun. So Olin's my official timekeeper around 12, he's going to go like this. So if you see Olin go like this and it's only 11:45, just say, let me know, because sometimes he likes to play jokes on me. But last week we left off, and really it's one of the most controversial subjects there is. And by the way, I was kind of reviewing, going back, and the gifts of helps. I wanted you to hear this. The word, the Greek word for that, I looked up, is this relief. Relief. And so some of you are relief pitchers, you know, in the gifts of help. So when you don't know exactly what it is, maybe you can say, I'm a relief pitcher in the kingdom of God. I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway, we left off with music and some of the things about music and the gifts. And you just enjoyed the gifts of music and praise and worship that the people have. We were coming to church this morning and Caden had started trying to play the guitar. And his brother said, as we was driving along, there's this guitar player, man, he was just eating the guitar up, you know, and he said, I wish Caden could play like that. I mean, those, when you're hearing a young musician, you wish they could play like anything, you know. But that's where they have to start. And I remember in my room just trying to get chords and probably driving my parents crazy. But you have to let people develop in their gifts. And so you don't start, you know, being a Billy Graham, if you're going to preach, you start where you are. And so when you're starting your gifts, you'll feel awkward. You'll feel like maybe, you know, that everybody else is better than you. And they may really be better than you. But that's okay. You're not competing in the kingdom. We're completing each other. And so someday your gift will be strong as you practice. It's kind of like riding a bicycle. You know, when you first got on, it's wobbly and you couldn't keep your balance, and finally you got it and you could ride and you could keep your balance. Same way in ministry, there's a center to find and a place where you fit. When you're preaching, you know, you have to discover, am I a screamer, am I a shouter, am I quiet, am I a teacher? And I had one guy tell me early in my ministry, I'll never forget, and he said, you know, he was a Pentecostal on fire breathing man, and he was all over the stage and just yelling, and that's the way he preached. And he says, someday the Holy Spirit, Jack, will fall on you and you'll preach like that. I'm still waiting after 20-something years. But I'm enjoying it until it comes. Amen. But that's just not me. That's not who I am. And so sometimes people will try to put their armor on you, and you just tell them, well, thank you, but I'll let God armor me up. He knows a little more than you do. Now, the last one we left off was with tongues and interpretation as a gift. It says, this is the, remember when I read this, every one of them says the distinctive ability and to speak or interpret a language which you've never heard or learned and communicate divinely anointed messages from God to unbelievers. It's maybe one of the most controversial gifts there is. And let me tell you why I believe it is. It's because it can be duplicated or it can be fabricated. And I think it is in some Pentecostal circles. I really do believe it is. And that's not to take away anything from any church. Thelma and I were talking this morning about, you know, it says those that teach false doctrine will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. And I believe this, that, you know, we have divisions. We have your Pentecostal, your Baptist, Lutherans, Presbyterians, the Catholic, and all these different divisions. And some preach that Jesus is coming before the Great Tribulation. And one denomination I used to be with says, as a minister, they said, if you persist in teaching any other way than pre-trib, that we're going out of here before the wrath is poured out, then you'll probably be called on the carpet and we'll deal with that, because it causes disunity in the body. And then there's others, kind of like myself, that believe that it may be possible that the church is going in the middle of the tribulation. And so if that is the fact, what if it is a fact? Then all those that believe and preach so staunchly that we're going before the great wrath is poured out, you know, the pre-trib, then they're teaching what? False doctrine, isn't it? Now, are they born again? I believe so. It's just that we're limited. Paul says we're limited. We kind of look through a dark, you know, glass, trying to see a murky water, looking through and trying to find truth. And so it's okay to be sincere. It's okay sometimes to even be sincerely wrong, because we're not all going to receive all truth until we stand before Jesus Christ. Won't it be fun when all of us preachers and different views, we stand together and we hear the truth for the first time come out of God's mouth? And we'll have to look over to our brother and say, "You were right. I was wrong." And you'll see that big grin come on their face. And then all of a sudden, there'll be another subject, another area. And then you were right. And your brother will have to look over to you and say, "You were right. I was wrong." You know, and so God will straighten us all out. Kind of like kids. Your kids, when they come in, they both have two views. You ever had that happen? If you have two kids, you've had two views. That's why some of you just have one kid in it. You just, all you can handle was one view. Couldn't handle two views. So you, and then some of you really bold. You had four, five, six kids. So you got all kinds of views that you have to sort out and deal with. Who's telling the truth, you know? And so Miss Dallas, she deals with that every week. Last week she had dealt with one. I just turned around. I didn't even see him, and I hit him in the face with my hand. And she's pretty discerning. And so she had to deal with that with all these children around. But you know, we don't have any truth. And so what I say, this is a disclaimer for our church, what I say about tongues, interpretation, this gift, it's not necessarily the gospel. It's just my views after seeing and operating around the church for a long time and studying gifts. But tongues and interpretation, one of the things that I think it is you know, when the Pentecostals that I kind of came to Oklahoma City and joined, well, they said in their doctrinal that the tongues are the initial evidence that you have the Holy Spirit. And I believe that is not a correct teaching. And you may agree with that, and it's okay if you do, okay? You'll all be straightened out when we get to heaven, just like I said. No, I'm just, but you know, I don't believe that is the initial evidence. I think Corinthians, when it talks about in Corinthians, well, let's just go there and we'll look at it. But this is what I teach, and I believe this for a long time, just after doing personal studies and looking at it. But in 1 Corinthians 12, over there, where it talks about all the different ministries and different gifts and activities that are going on to make up this great body of Christ that we are a part of, he says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit. Now this is what I believe the Bible talks about is part of this is the true initial evidence. The manifestation, the showing up of the Holy Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And so this is the manifestation, the showing of the Spirit. And it says is this, for one to give is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing each to one individually as He wills. And so I think all of these are the manifestation. All of these are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And it's a very controversial thing in the body of Christ. Is tongues for today? You know, the Scripture talks about there comes a day when tongues shall cease and you know, like prophecy, word of knowledge shall vanish away. And some say, well, see, that's the end of tongues and interpretation and prophecy, the foretelling. We don't need foretelling because, you know, we're going to the book of Revelation. All the way to the end, Jesus gives us revelation. So there's a big discussion about that. And that's what it should be, is a discussion. It shouldn't be an argument. It shouldn't be a, well, I'm right and you're wrong. It should be a discussion among family members. How many knows we're family? And then if a sinner comes up and says, well, you know this and that, we just need to stay out of the family business. You don't tell them like that. But you know what I'm saying. That's what you think, because we're family. We're trying to sort this out the best we can. And so if we just teach from this, and here's what I've learned. If I'm ever in a discussion where people are wanting to know about what I believe, it's always good if you can say, well, the Bible says. Because I've been in some really heated discussions, and that's a safe thing, is to say, well, I don't know, but the Bible says. Because how can you argue with Scripture? Now, if somebody argues with Scripture, and you can take a Scripture out of text, and in that case, you'd have to, you know, have some correction. But the Bible says, so we're all looking for it. But this is just my observation, that tongues, for the most part, in the body of Christ, are misused. They were used in a beautiful way on the day of Pentecost to translate into different languages this beautiful message that we have to unbelievers. And then Paul dealt with it in the church when he said, you know what? In the church, I would rather you speak 5 words of understanding than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. There was a problem in the church. And I've just noticed that there's still a problem in the church with tongues and interpretation. I believe if we're a growing church and a church that is mature, we should speak with understanding, because that's what will edify believers. And it says the unbelievers that come in will hear the word and be drawn into Christ. And so, and we've taken some heat from that. We've had people come and say, well, I'm Pentecostal, and I don't, you know. And what they're saying is, we want tongues, we want interpretation, we want prophecies and all that in the church. Most of us that do operate in a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, we operate under the same Spirit, the same unction, the same anointing. We just speak it in languages that are understood. You can look at any church in America. There's big churches that believe in speaking in tongues. There's big churches that believe that's not for the church. And so God is blessing both camps. So wherever you are, you practice what you believe is scripturally correct in this area, and I think God will bless you for it. And then don't let me or somebody else persuade you, but do a study yourself. But I just believe there's been misuse and abuse in this area. One body that I was with for several years, I think probably 6 or 8 years, I noticed a trend that the same few people would speak in tongues, and it would be a very general, broad message, usually when given out in this particular body that I was associated with. It would be something like, yea, saith the Lord, if you will serve me, I will help you and bless you and increase you. And well, that's pretty general. That's milk. That's not meat. How many knows if you'll serve the Lord, He will bless you? That's the first one of the first elements of the faith. That's not real deep. Now, if somebody spoke in tongues one morning and they said prayer faith, I want to tell you, in 60 days, the interpretation comes and says, in 60 days, if you don't fall on your face and repent, every one of you is going to die. How many knows that would stir something inside? I might be at the altar if I felt a witness. I might be at the altar if I didn't feel a witness. But you know what? That would be specific. Or if God said, I'm going to bless you and overrun you, and every seat will be full in 30 days. And sure enough, boy, people just start thronging in. So I'm not saying God can't use that gift. I'm just saying, and you may be in the camp that believes that it's not even for today. It's you know. But here's what I know. He said, desire spiritual gifts. So we should say, God, if it's ignorance that I'm operating out of, I want everything you have. I don't want to come up short in any gift. I don't want any hindrances in communicating the gospel. And if this ever comes to light and I need this gift, lay it on me. See, don't be afraid of gift in the Holy Spirit. Now, we might be afraid of a teacher or a man or a sect or a denomination, but never be afraid of what God has given us in the Bible. See? And maybe you've been taught differently, but that's okay. Now, here's one warning I want to give you. If you operate in such a gift, and because I've seen this over the years. Years and years ago, when I was early in our ministry, I remember a couple coming to our church, and I saw this in our first church that I was associated with, in a Pentecostal church, and people that spoke in tongues felt like, I sure enough have the Holy Spirit, and you that don't, sure enough don't. And that's a very condemning doctrine. And so here's what I would say. If you speak in tongues, pray in tongues, all that kind of stuff, we'll do it to the glory of God and to edify the body and not to condemn somebody else that don't. Well, let me show you something. In Corinthians, he talks about, and watch the consistency. We're in 12. Now just look with me in verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Now watch this, and it's a consistency all through this passage. Are all apostles? What would the answer to that be? Are all of you apostles? No. Are all prophets? Are all of you prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all work
workers of miracles?
No. Now, God can lay any of this on us He wants to at any time and operate in that office for His need to... You know, He made a donkey talk, so surely He can use you when He gets ready. And so that's why that gave me hope when I heard him, a donkey speaking. I thought, well, maybe I can preach. Okay, now, so it's all no. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? Well, see, it's consistent. And the answer is no. Do all interpret? No. And then he goes on and says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And so, all do not speak with tongues. All don't need to speak with tongues. And if that's your view, that's okay. But I've just seen so much. I had one person tell me years ago, she said, you know, when she went into this Pentecostal church that believes you must even speak in tongues to make heaven and to really have a born-again experience. She said one of them was saying, turn loose, just turn loose, and you can get it in the name of Jesus. She said, a little while the son said, just hang on, just hang. He said, I didn't know where to hang on or turn loose. You know? And here's what I know. He said, all that want that Holy Spirit, ask. Just ask. And then be willing to go out and share the gospel. You shall receive power that the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be a witness. That's why He's empowered us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, is to be a witness. So wherever you're at Taco Tico, or at your Air Force Base or OU Medical Center, wherever you are in school system, that you can be a blessing. You can be light and salt for Jesus Christ. So that's my warning. In fact, let me show you something. It's about the same Spirit. Look in Luke chapter 10. And the same Spirit, and here's what, the gifts are good, but when you have people, in Matthew 7, remember, he talks about around the 20, 21st verse, he said, there will be people in the kingdom, and he'll say, Lord, we did all these miracles and signs and wonders in your name, and he'll look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. There's a danger that comes along with gifts when we feel like we have it. In fact, it's so deceiving that there's people that stand before the Lord and argue with Him that we did all this. We prophesied in your name, and we did all these miracles and things in your name. And He said, I never knew you. And there's a danger about making a gift your God. And it's so deceptive that I've seen churches split over who's got gifts and who's got power and who don't have power. How many knows none of us got power except through the power of Jesus Christ? If He can get a little bit of it through us, we'll give Him all the glory and all the praise. Otherwise, we don't have anything. We're a sinner saved by grace. Okay? And so here's His disciples in the early church in Luke 10 and verse 17. The 70 return, and He said, with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Well, they're happy. And He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You know what He's saying? This is the same spirit that Satan had before he took his fall. They come back and they're not rejoicing about people being saved and lives being changed. They're coming back about demons being subject to them. And Jesus said, I want to give you a warning right now. I want to tell you something right now. You're rejoicing about the wrong thing. This is the same spirit I'm talking about when it comes to saying, oh, I have it because I speak in tongues or I don't. It's not for you. It's not for to show. It's for if you do that, it is to glorify God and to be a light and salt for Him. Okay? And he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You've got the power. I gave it to you. But he says this, nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And it all comes back to the purpose of God. It all comes back to reaching out and being a light and saving souls and encouraging each other and becoming a disciple so we can be a brighter light tomorrow than we were yesterday for the kingdom of God. And God can use us in all kinds of ways, but that's my warning to you is, you know what? Don't get excited about gifts and get excited because God got something through you out into a lost and dying and hurting world. That's what we should get excited about. Jesus said, watch yourself because this same spirit that was on Satan can get on you when we begin to think we're something in the kingdom. I think that's why we don't see more miracles than we do, is because, you know, I don't think we could handle what it would do for us and through us. You know, when Jesus, the Word, just think about it, had no cell phone, He had no internet, He had no flyers out. It just word of mouth. But when word got out that Jesus was touching people and healing them, they thronged Him. Can you imagine today if God was to use you in a powerful way and just everybody you touch got healed? People would be trampling you, trying to get to you. And so this is what we need to do. When God decides to use us in spiritual gifts, it's, you know what, we need to give God the glory. But sometimes Jesus would say, just go and don't tell anyone. You know, I mean, we need to be discreet about it. We need to say, to God be the glory, and I have no power. He has all power. If He chooses to use, then praise the Lord. But don't get excited about the gifts. Get excited about what God is doing to bless people and help people and heal people. And then He'll use you. The gifts are supposed to, here's the correct order. He said signs and wonders will follow the church, not be up here in the forefront. And the only time I've seen people get way off out in left field is when they put gifts up here instead of trying to follow them. Just being a servant for God and touching people and watching lives transform. So that's just a... And I'm not trying to discourage you. You know, forbid no one to speak in tongues. So if that's something that you enjoy and it's something you feel like edifies you, speak on in the name of Jesus. Okay? Then miracles is the next one I want to touch on. Jesus operated these all the time, didn't He? And here's the thing. We talk about healings and miracles. Miracles, it says, the distinctive ability to perform supernatural acts as an instrument or agent of God which alter the expected course of nature. So, for instance, when He's going along and there's blind Bartimaeus and He touches his eyes, that's a healing, but how many knows it's a miracle because it didn't take a process of time. It didn't take medicine. It didn't take any kind of physical alterations. It was just boom, and He was healed. So there's a healing, but there's also a miracle because there's something supernatural happening that normally takes an extended amount of time to perform. Let's look at Acts chapter 3. And this is really a healing and a miracle at the same time. And then we'll probably pull this into healing, the gift of healing. In Acts chapter 3, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. And by the way, they had laid him here for years, and probably Jesus had walked by this man, several other apostles or prophets or men of God had walked by this man several times because they'd laid him there daily for a long time. And so one of the things I want you to catch here is this power to touch people, to heal and to see miracles, it's God's power and it's in God's time. I've seen a lot of condemnation. In fact, it was heaped on me as a young minister and coming into the body of Christ when I would be asking God for healing from my family or something, and people look at me and say, well, you know, if you just had faith. And I'm like, God, I don't have faith. You know? If I just had faith, they would say. Or one of them said, well, if that was my kid and was praying for someone to be healed, see, I just wouldn't put up with that. Like, I'm putting up with that. Is that edifying? Would that edify you? If your child was sick and I told you, well, if you just had faith. Or if that was my child, I wouldn't put up with that from Satan. It kind of makes you feel like, well, Satan's all over my child and I don't know what to do about it. And then later I thought, I know what I would do about it. You know, I'd like to do about it. And probably God would just cheer me on and just poke him right in the nose. And say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, well, I mean to poke it, but you need to be humble because you're condemning God's children. Are you humble now, you know? And they said it in ignorance because they had been taught that, you know what, we possess the power to do these kind of things, and we don't. We are given this on assignment at a specific time. What if some Sunday we come by and we had discovered, you know, God is using me in miracles, and so the guy is sitting there at the gate, beautiful, he's crippled, and we start yanking on this guy, and God's saying, it's not his time, yank all you want to. Or what if we come by and tell him one morning before this day, before it's his time, well, you know, just get up and walk in the name of Jesus. If you just had faith, you know. That's not edifying to him. That's condemning him because God's saying, I'm not releasing power to do that today. And so here's what I believe we need to mix in with the gifts is the will and the timing of God. When you go to John the 5th chapter, there's another man, and he's laying over here by the pool of Bethesda. Remember, the angels come and brush the waters, and the first one in is healed. And I don't know what all that's about. I don't know if it's God having fun or if that was just something they saw and it built faith. Sometimes we can just see. Maybe for the first time somebody stepped into the water, they saw it brushed and rolled off in the water, and they got healed, and they thought, and that built their faith when they saw the breeze come through and fan the waters. We'll know when we get to heaven, but we don't know why he did that. And you can't go out and jump in Thunderbird when the waters are rippling and the first one is healed. That's not a ministry, but in that particular story, he was healing people. But the day Jesus showed up, he walks over this one and he walks over this, and he knew that one person was ready. Now that's the timing and the will of God for that day, just like it is for the guy at the gate, beautiful. He knew today is your day. He didn't even know. He looked on him. The Bible says, "Watch this." Go back to the scripture. It says, "Who seeing Peter in verse 3? Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something." Maybe today his expectation is right. Maybe before this day it wasn't. Or maybe he's just expecting to receive a coin, but he's expecting. Maybe today it's enough to get him more than he wanted. You ever prayed and you got more than you wanted? Or more than you thought you would get, you know? Maybe that was him today. But today, for whatever reason, Peter says, "This is your day." And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And that's the healing. Now watch the miracle. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. And all of a sudden Peter says, you know, this is not us. This is the Holy Spirit and this is God's doing. He's giving God all the glory. God just used us today. It was his day. This is about this man. It's not about us. We're just being a vessel today. This is about this man today and God's shining on him today. We just happen to walk by. And so how many knows, if you've never walked before, you can't just get up and start walking. You got to learn how to put one foot in, but he didn't. He just got up, started walking and leaping and praising God. God gave him the whole package in just an instant. It's kind of like Job and Job's friends. That's what I felt like some of the people that told me, if you just had faith. I felt like I had friends like Job when they told me, you know, well, you just don't have faith. And that's what they argue with Job when they came. And Job says, I'm not at fault here. I don't know what's going on, but I just don't know what's going on. And it's good to check when we're going through things, how's your heart? How's your motives? How's all this? It's good to ask and to check and all. But the thing is, sometimes God just says, if God says about you, "Have you considered my servant Dennis today?" Oh, there's none like him. You might as well just get ready for a trial. You can rebuke, you can squeal, you can yell, you can pray in the spirit, you know, whatever you want to do. But how many knows when God says, "Have you considered him?" And just you can, and he says, "I'll just lift my hedge," and you can do anything you want, take all the stuff you want, just don't touch his person. And then he said, "I'll lift my hedge, and you can touch his body. You just can't take his life." And when God does that, if he ever does that for you and I, it doesn't matter what you pray. What we need to pray is, "God, if you're not going to heal me, help me go through in the name of Jesus." because God is God. When Paul said, I had a thorn, and I prayed, and I prayed, and three times, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient from you. He said, I'll just give God to the thorn in my flesh. Huh? And so that the miracles, and I believe God still wants to do miracles today. I just believe He can't sometimes because we get so out of sort with what it is. And we need to keep this and keep God up here and keep ourselves way down here. And if there's a miracle God wants to birth through us, be ready and willing, but just be ready and willing to give Him the glory. You know? Don't you know people that God healed somebody or done something and they talk about it for years? Well, that was yesterday's healing. He might have another one today. Come on, you know. He used you, and it's wonderful when He uses you. I never forget one time I was a young pastor headed out to a conference. My ankle was swelled up, man, it was huge, and I was limping around on it, and I thought, I'm going to a conference tomorrow, and I'm going to need crutches and all this stuff. And a guy came up, was going to lay hands on me, said, oh, you're already healed. Went down the line, I was pastoring the church, and I thought, well, I got up here, I want you to pray for me. And he just told me I'm already healed and went down the line. And so by the time we got to the end of the line, all the pain in my ankle was gone. I thought, wow, that feels good. You know, and then I just started walking around a little while, and people noticed, hey, look, he's healed. But I was aggravated. That's how I got my healing. I was aggravated at the man because he didn't pray for me. That's faith, isn't it? True story, another time I was preaching as a young associate pastor, and I noticed one of our deacons didn't have his Bible turned to the right page. I said, brother, I said, turn your Bible over here. I'm getting ready to teach. He said, well, I don't have my glasses. And I just laid my hand on his head. I said, heal him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And it was so funny. He said, I can see. I can see. I said, really? True story. And he just went out rejoicing. Man, I won't have to wear my glasses no more. But it's just that fast. And it was just on a... But I said, in the name of Jesus. How many knows it's not in your touch? It's in His name. It's in the name of Jesus. And so just be ready, but don't get too... don't get too haughty about what God is doing to you. It's not your gift. That would be my warning about miracles. Because, man, just realize and give Him all the praise and all the glory. And don't make that the focus of your testimonies. You know, do that one and go on. Remember Jesus said, just go and tell the one, or just go show the priest. Just go show the church leaders. You know, He didn't try to broadcast this and make this a ministry. This is just what Jesus does as you're obedient and you're in sync with Him and everything. Then the next one is craftsmanship. Now I want to show you something. Go to Exodus 36. How many crafty people do we have in here? Two or three? Come on, let me see your hand. Quit being so modest. You're modest now. Okay. You know, God's just given you the ability to put things together, to build things, to make things, to look at it and to see it. And that's what He did over here in Exodus 36. This is one of the best I've ever seen when it comes to craftsmanship. It just, Olin's got a little bit of craftsmanship in him. He's helped us build birdhouses for the kingdom and arcs and all kinds of things for the VBS over the years. And some of you, you know, you have an ability to see something in your mind and look at it and picture it and then build it or sew it or put it together. Maybe it's even to draw it, but there's a craft inside of you that God has put there. And I don't know how to explain it, except He just puts something in your brain inside of you that just it just clicks. You see stuff we don't see, and it can put it together in a way that we can't. And you ought to give God the glory. You know, people that can put this together and put it on paper and build something like this, that's a gift, isn't it? And so this is kind of an insight of what He's talking about. In chapter 36 of Exodus, in verse 1, He got the two men here, whatever their names are. Every gift that artists, you know, those artists have the weirdest names, don't they? Every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding. See, God has put wisdom and understanding to know to do all manner of work for service of the sanctuary. So do according to all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called the same two fellows. And every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom. Everyone whose heart was stirred. come and do the work. You know what he's saying? It's there's a difference. There's people that get excited about a building being built, and then there's people that get excited about getting to build a building. Or putting curtains together, or arranging this in the sanctuary, and they get excited about it. You know, you look up here, and here's a new fall decoration. And I think, was it Cindy and Charlotte put this together? I think. Huh? Charlotte put it together. Isn't that beautiful? Now, if we took all that apart and said, okay, just put it back together and put it back up here, how many would say, are you kidding me? And then we could tell which one of you had a gift like me. You know, I could probably even kill this, and my green thumb is gone. But isn't that beautiful? It's got, look like feathers and, you know, little grapes and stuff. Here's a little pine cone and stuff. I mean, it's just beautiful. But and then there's other things around that they put together. But it takes an eye for that. Somebody visited our new home from Jana's work the other day, one of her nurses, and I was at school, and I came home, and they had been visiting as a nurse from out of town that they've become good friends. And she told Jana, she said, did you decorate this house? And she said, yes, I did. And she said, you have a gift. She said, I'm telling you, Janet, not everyone can do this. And I thought, yeah, you ought to be her husband. You got to get this all right. Yeah. Keep your hand off electronics at all times. But you know, I mean, how many know that gift costs? That's what I'm trying to say. It's not all blessing living with gifted people. You get to enjoy it, but you get to pay for it too. But some of you are that way. You just see stuff, you know, and it's like, man, I can see this differently. And God has given me some of that, you know, to go into a home and say, I could put this and I can move that wall and I could do... So I have some of that kind of stuff as well. But that's a gift. That's a gift. I've seen people that they don't have a clue. They wouldn't know which end of a hammer to use, you know. And so craftsmanship is something that God has put in their heart, and it's something to say, you know what, I not only can see it, I can build that. I can create that. I can make that. And that's a gift that God has put wisdom and understanding inside of you. And so for you that have that gift, give Him the glory and use your gift. You know, thank God they used our gift, didn't it? See, we can come in and enjoy the... No, he's not. It's not 12 yet, is it? Oh, no, I got 20 minutes. All right. Yeah. I mean, let's pray and see if you'll do a miracle and creep my battery back here. Ready? No, I'm just kidding. Did it build your faith for just a minute, though? So miracles, you know, just our craftsmanship. Here's your warning. Just give God the glory. It's kind of like with miracles. You know, you can do it, and don't get haughty about it. Because sometimes when you look at your... And don't let your workmanship become your God, you know. Just, well, I built this. I made this. Did you see this? I done that. You know, it's okay when your kids... Papa, come see what I built. You know, that's okay when you're little. You know, oh, look at that, and man... But when you get bigger, how many knows you need to quit pointing at your own creation and give God the glory? Amen. Then gifts of healing is the next one. Gift of healing says the distinctive ability to be used as a human intermediary through whom God's supernatural power is applied to a person's physical and emotional needs. I want to say this about the gifts of healing, because sometimes we think, you know, the gifts of healing, when we hear that, images come in our heart and mind about, well, somebody was touched and physically healed, wasn't it? But I think there's some great healers in the body of Christ that don't have the gift that, like, I'm touching people for the physical needs, but for the mind and the heart. And thank God for you people. For people that come to you and will, you know, when they have a problem, they'll come because they'll know you listen and you'll have some insight that you can share with them to heal. thank God. And I don't know why, but it seems like ladies have more of that. Maybe you're just better listeners than we are. Maybe you have the same wiring as another lady has. But a lot of you ladies, I've noticed, you really have a gift to when people call you on the phone or come over to visit and sit down for a cup of coffee. You have a gift that they love your kitchen or they love your living room because they know that they'll get what they need at your place. You know what I'm saying? It's more than just if you went over to my house or somebody else's house. They know what to say, and sometimes they know not what to say. I've seen that a lot, and when people have funerals or death, and all of a sudden somebody starts trying to make it better. Boy, sometimes we can do a lot more harm than good, can't we, when we're trying to use the gift of healing after someone's lost someone. If you've never lost someone, and for instance, and somebody comes up to you that's lost a child or lost a spouse or something, and you say, oh, I know exactly how you feel, and they know you've never lost one. I mean, look, that's not edifying. In fact, that's really lying, isn't it? Because you don't know how they feel. But sometimes, you know, God will use you if you've lost a child or a spouse or something to just touch somebody else and say, I know exactly how you feel and what you're going through. I went through the same thing. And all of a sudden, you can give them a little insight and, you know, and say, this is what I did. Maybe it'll work for you. See, those are gifts that God will pull through us. How about Job after he was healed? Do you think he had some insight later on about what to do when God spoke to him and said, Job, the test is over. I'm going to increase you now. You think he could minister a little more effectively after that and tell people something like, you know what, if you'll just hang on, I'm not here to criticize you. I'm here to tell you about a God that's going to come through someday. I don't know how and I don't know when, but he's coming, so get ready. You know, Job had a testimony, and part of his healing had changed now, hadn't it? And I think we way underestimate when it comes to gift of healing and when we think about just touching people and having physical healing, because most of us that come in, we're looking for some mental, emotional healing, aren't we? How many knows, if you don't know it, our world needs a lot of emotional healing. 50% divorce rate, I'm telling you, our world needs a lot of emotional and mental healing. And we can be instruments in that respect as God uses us. So let me encourage you. Look at it a little bit differently, if you would. And don't forget, it's God. Remember, the man at the pool, let God do the choosing. And the man at the gate, God was doing the choosing. This is his day. The man that was born blind, he said, nobody sinned. It's just for the glory of God on this day. And so, be ready. Just be an open, willing vessel to say, God, today, if I'm at the library and you want to touch and heal through me, I'm available. To God be the glory, and let God do that. So medical doctors, praise the Lord for them. You know, they have a calling to do that. I think there's doctors that want money, and then there's called doctors. Thank God for the called doctors. Thank God for the doctors that will go in and say, let me pray with you. You know, some of you have doctors like that that will say, let me pray with you. And by the way, don't get too hung up on it. How many would like to have, and I heard this, I thought that's a good insight. How many would say, if I'm going to have major heart surgery, I'd rather have a Christian doctor that wasn't really real successful that would at least pray over me, or have an atheist doctor that was really, really good but didn't want to pray? How many would take the atheist? Let me see. Me and you? Okay. So the rest of you just die with a guy and go on to heaven, huh? I would. I would take the atheist that was really, really good and had a really good success rate over the man that wasn't very successful in doing operations on my heart. And just, but I'm not very good and you probably won't make it, but I'm going to pray over you. Boy, wouldn't that be a sincere prayer? Oh, God! Yeah. But one is gifted. You know, you can be an atheist and still have gifts from God. You see that all the time in musicians and singers and people that just have a beautiful gift, you know. And they don't love God and they don't acknowledge God, but it's still a gift from God. The gifts and the call of God is irrevocable. It's without repentance. So the gift of healing. The next one is the gift of giving. The gift of giving is the ability to cheerfully and generously contribute personal resources to God's work. Cheerfully and generously. And you know what I've noticed? A lot of times God always puts a giver together with somebody that's not their gift. You ever notice that? How many have a giver in your house? They just give you poor. Yeah. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's the way it is. I'm a giver. I'm just, you know, sometimes I'm a stupid giver. How many stupid givers say? You just give stupidly, you know? Oh, we got two in the same household. You guys will wind up poor and just with that one. Yeah, you are, huh? Well, maybe we need to pray that y'all find some different spouses or something. No, we don't. No, just teasing. Don't shoot me. I'm just kidding. But that's the way we are, you know, usually, and I'm telling you, thank God for your spouse that will keep you giving under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible talks about not giving under compulsion. I think Cliff was reading today about giving cheerfully and not under that scripture, about not giving under compulsion. One of the things I remember years ago when they had all the TV ministries and there was the fall of that, and one of the ministries was taking up millions of dollars to build a city for Christians. And I just thought, you know, and if you enjoyed that ministry, you know, I'm not knocking it, I'm just saying I never agreed with the concept that we're supposed to send in millions of dollars to build a city for Christians. We're supposed to hang around sinners. And maybe their whole philosophy was to get a Christian city so if you walked in, the influence would be Christian. You know, I can see that, I guess, if that was their concept. But I never felt compelled to give that ministry. And then later on it came out that they were just really elaborately spending money they shouldn't be spending and had a whole bunch of other things. But you know what? That all came out and it all, God leveled it out and those people went back to doing basic ministry and so God loves them but I never felt compelled. But I saw people that would send in money to that and talk to people and they said, well, you know, here's the deal, Pastor. I give my gift by faith and whatever they do, that's their business. I wish for your sake and my sake, when we give under compulsion, it was, but I don't think that's correct teaching. I think when we give our money, it's not, well, I give it by faith and it doesn't matter what they do with it. I think we're still accountable. And so all I'm saying is pray before you give. Remember what we taught in our vision? Pray and obey. Yeah. What does God want me to do in giving my best? And where does He want it to go? You know, we're helping feed 400,000 kids, and I think God is well pleased with that. Feed the poor. We're helping to build a church in Guatemala, and I think God is well pleased with that. That's building a church for the kingdom of God, where people will come and assemble and pastors will be trained and all. So giving cheerfully. Just make sure you're giving. This is my warning. Make sure your giving is under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. That it's not out of compulsion because there's a great need. How many knows there's all kinds of needs today? All kinds of needs. And you can't meet every one of them. When I became a young Christian and started listening to radio ministry, I wanted to send them all a dollar or two because I thought, man, that's a great need. Oh, that's a great need. Oh, this is a great need. Well, they all have needs. And so finally, I just relaxed one day and said, Lord, you know, there's so many needs out here and I like to listen to all these guys, but I can't support them all. So you just show me who I need to support and send to. And so I would occasionally send to Dr. Dobson's ministry. Probably most of you heard him on there. But it's a focus on the family and his family values and building families and things. So, but I had to choose. And I just said, you know, Holy Spirit, you tell me. Because there's all kinds of needs out there. So you tell me what we need and who you want me to support. And I will support it. The next one is the gift of mercy. When we did our gifts test, I scored this is one of my lowest scores, was the gift of mercy. And our church really had a good time with this about, oh, you got no mercy. My wife said the other day, my mercy is growing. Yeah. And so, well, there's hope for me. I need to take the test again. The gift of mercy is the ability to feel sincere empathy and compassion in a way that results in practical relief for people's hurts, pains, and suffering. Isn't that good? It's a the ability to feel sincere empathy and compassion in a way that results in practical relief for people's hurts, pains, and suffering. The gift of mercy. And this is why I don't score high on the gift of mercy, is because I think I can feel somewhat where they're at when people come in hurting. But this talks about, I think relief doesn't come in three things to do. Do you agree? You know, like, well, if you do three, because usually if you come in and you tell me where you're hurting, I'll say, well, here's a couple things, you know, the Bible says, and so go practice this. And people with the gift of mercy, they don't do that. Let me tell you, here's a person with the gift of mercy if I ever saw one. If you call Jerry Nicely and say, Jerry, we need prayer. So-and-so's sick. You know what you'll hear on the phone? Oh, let's pray. That's what comes. You probably don't even know that, but you hear that. Let's pray. Because you can feel. See? And stuff like that, you know, when they call in, I say, well, let's pray. How many can tell the difference? How many would rather have her on the other end than me? You know, that's because the people with the gift of mercy, they'll not only pray over you, they'll hug you, and they'll want to know what they can do, and they'll dote over you, and you think, man, they really love me. And I'm like, well, let's pray. Now get up in the name of Jesus. Let's go. We got something to do. Charge, you know. And you're like, well, I'm sick. I'm wounded. Well, put your bandage on. Come on, let's go. Let's go. You know, that's why I'm low in the gift of mercy. That's why she's high. She'll call you back. Are you better today? I've been praying for you. Oh, is there anything else we can do? And she, I've seen her cry. Just cry over people, you know, because they're sick or they're hurting. And she can't stand it when people, that's the gift of mercy. It's just what God put in you, you know. It's not that you're more precious than me, because you're not. Is she? Okay. So you're more precious than me. Everybody with a gift of mercy is more precious than me, all right? But you see what I'm saying? That's a gift that God's put in them that makes you feel special, because they can hook up with you in your pain. Now, here's the warning the Bible gives. I don't give, but he says, you know what? When you have mercy, he says, have mercy with cheerfulness. That's a warning from the Scripture, not from me. The Bible says if you have that gift, because what happens is that can occupy your mind, your heart, it can grieve you. And he says, if you have the gift of mercy, do it with cheerfulness. And you better take heed. That's why some counselors you hear about go out and commit suicide, because they hear all these problems and they get so attached and so overwhelmed because there's so many problems in the world and they just can't take it anymore, and they'll kill themselves with drugs or guns or whatever it is. Or some of them just leave the ministry. There's a high rate of them just leave the ministry because they just can't stand it anymore. And there has to be, if you're going to stay in that kind of ministry, there has to be a side that says, I can separate from what's going on in their life to who I am and what God's doing in my life. Because if you don't, you won't practice this gift with cheerfulness. And so that's just a warning from Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these gifts that you have given to the body and how we've seen them expressed, even in our own congregation. Lord, I believe you still want to do miracles and healings and all the gifts that from time to time we can be used as vessels of honor in any of these. You said several as the Holy Spirit will. You'll give us these gifts, you use us in these gifts, but you said to rejoice because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Help us to realize, Lord, that we're just a simple clay vessel that's been made in your image, that once in a while you'll want to pull your glory and send your glory through us to a lost and hurting and dying world. Help us to practice our gifts so we can build the body of Christ, and so we can give glory to you. Help us, God, today to be faithful stewards of our gifts, whatever they are. And Holy Spirit, thank you for connecting to some today, maybe in this place, and saying, I believe that's my gift. I have that ability to do this. I have the ability to do that. Thank you, Lord, for connecting with gifts as we preach on this subject. And this week, Lord, we pray if there's one that's crippled or hurting or in need and one that you want to touch, help us to be in tune with your Holy Spirit. Help us to be in tune with you. If there's one among the masses that you say, I want to touch that one today, go and tell them. Go and pray over them. Go and touch them. Go and listen to them. Help us to be ready and willing for the glory of God. And God, when you touch through us, help us to realize that you were able to do something in and through us today. To God be the glory. And to go on to the next one. We can rejoice in it. We can marvel that you would use us. But help us to go on to the next one. It's a new day. There's another hurting person. There's another need to be met. Help us not to bask in the gifts, but to bask in the Creator. To focus on you and focus on right now and what you want to do today. Yesterday may have been a glorious day. Tomorrow you may use this in a powerful way. But today, Lord, what do you want to do? So we can keep balance in our lives. And we can keep you in the forefront. Use us, Lord, as you see fit, in Jesus' name. Amen.